Bless you, God. What a wonderful time of worship this morning. So we know from personality tests that there are T's and F's, thinkers and feelers. You're usually not both. So the feelers tend to dominate the language of the church. Didn't you feel the presence of God? And all the T's are going, no, I didn't feel a thing. So just know, you T's, that God's here right now. If you don't feel it, don't feel like you're weird or something, it's okay. He's here. Amen.
Amen.
So I don't know if you know this, but God wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you all the time about everything, constantly. As a matter of fact, I was loading up the car to come over here this morning, and I was walking back in the house, and I just said to God, God, thank you for, I forget what I was thanking him for, and I just said, you're awesome. And he said back to me, I know. I love it when God cracks a joke with me, right? This is normal. This is the normal Christian life that God talks with us, and we talk back and forth with him. Really?
Yes.
I'm going to just say this one more time, and I want you to make a statement of belief. After I say it, I want you to say, I believe it. It's normal for God to talk to you.
Amen.
I believe it. That's right. And it's awesome.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it's amazing. And just in case you don't want to trust my word for it, and that is perfectly okay, here's what Jesus said. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And then I love this next part here. And I know them. And they follow me. So Christians in the Bible are called sheep. Jesus is called the good and great shepherd. And I mean, I don't think I'm reading this wrong, right? It's pretty much, we could just say, Christians hear my voice, right? I mean, could that be any more direct? Christians hear his voice, and he wants that for each one of us. Now, here's the thing. It's mostly this really quiet voice. It's almost a whisper. And if my head is filled with noise or something else, I probably won't hear it. That's what we're going to be talking about today. And then next week, we're going to deal with the things that block us from hearing God's voice and how we get past those blockages. So this is kind of, this next scripture has been kind of a theme verse for us for a few weeks now. Just read it out loud with me if you'd like to. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. How many of you just raise your hand if you'd say, yeah, I want the plan God has for my life? Yeah, it's pretty cool, right? He's got a plan with your name on it in the cloud, right? No, it's not in the cloud. No one can hack it. It's in heaven. That's why we pray every day, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But how can I get into the plan of God if I don't know his voice? Because we don't want to get into this following signs. Like, oh, I saw this robin today. It was beautiful. And that's God's, that meant I was supposed to do this because the robin was there. No, the Bible is very clear. We have God. This is crazy. I made a horsey noise because it's so crazy. God lives in us. Do you feel worthy to have God live in you?
Yes.
Okay, I don't. Maybe when I get to be really old like you, I'll feel that way. She's not really old, but. She made fun of me earlier today, so I went back at her. You got to be careful making fun of a pastor during church because I have the microphone and you don't. God lives in us. The fullness of God lives in us. All three of them, Father, Son, and Spirit. And that means he can speak to us whenever he wants to. I don't have to look, because here's the thing about signs. The enemy can manipulate those. He can trick us. He can use those. He can even appear as an angel and try to confuse us. So God says, don't Don't trust all those things. I mean, if he sends an angel, you can go, God, was that really an angel, right? Because sometimes angels are sent. They're messengers of God. But he wants us to learn to know his voice because it's a gift from him. So for the last few months, I've been talking to many of you about this and heard things like, well, I never hear God speak to me. Or I sometimes hear God speak to me and I don't know if it's really him. How can I know it's really God's voice? Or sometimes I hear God speak to me and I want more, but it's not often. It's once or twice a month, but I want to hear God speak to me more and more and more. How do I get more of God? So we're going to address all of these issues this Sunday next week. But let's start with going to science this morning to make an interesting connection. So there's this guy named Dr. Alfred Tomatis. I think it's a Spanish name. You want to say that with me? Tomatis. I don't know if I'm not going to try to guess. It sounds like tomato, but anyway. He's dead, so he can't be offended by me comparing his life. Of course, it can't be the first time he's heard that, if he was alive. So anyway, for half a century, 50 years, he was an ear, nose, and throat doctor. And he was confronted during his career with the most curious case. An opera singer had mysteriously lost his ability to hit certain notes, even though those notes had always been well within his range. He had been to other doctors, and all of those doctors thought it was a vocal problem. You got to work out your vocal cords. You got to sing better. You got to practice better. You can get back to where you are. But Dr. Tomatis thought otherwise. Now, this is crazy. So he found, I'm going to put up a picture of an opera singer here. This guy is current opera singer. He's called Jonas Kaufmann. He's one of the world, some call him the greatest tenor in the world right now. He's a German tenor. If you've never been to an opera, go. They're amazing. I don't listen to it very often, but if you can ever go, opera is fabulous. It's really, really great. But this guy and other opera singers can sing at 140 decibels. So just to put this in context, I'm talking at about 55 decibels right now. 140 decibels, he can project at 3 feet. So almost three times the normal sound. I mean, if you listen to 85 decibels on a regular deaf basis, you'll start to go deaf. 140 decibels, right? That's crazy, isn't it? And to put it in comparison, that's a little bit louder than a military jet taken off from an aircraft carrier. I'm not making this stuff up. I researched it thoroughly. Actually, I read it in a book, but same thing, right? Somebody I trust. And it can be even louder when you're singing it in your head. So what Dr. Tomatis, I shouldn't have said tomato because I keep wanting to call him Dr. Tomato now, discovered led to this diagnosis. Listen to this. The opera singer had been deafened by the sound of his own voice in his head. Because if you can't hear the note, you can't sing it, right, Sam? So the French Academy of Medicine named it, this diagnosis, the Tomatis effect. Not being able to hear because our own voice is so loud. So how many of us have our own voice or other voices or other things banging around in our head that keep us from hearing the voice of the one who loves us best, the voice of the one who knows us best, the voice of the one who has a plan for our life and wants to guide us, right? Look, here's the thing that I've discovered. I've discovered that when I can't deal with a problem, that I actually have a hearing problem. Any problem, you name it. There's some big, serious problems out there, mountainous problems, right? When I can't deal with it and I don't know how to manage it, it's because I have a hearing problem. I'm letting my own voice or the voice of fear or worry drown out the voice of God. And here's the thing, and maybe you can relate to this because I've done this many, many times throughout the life. So I end up treating the symptom. Oh, I need a vacation. Or maybe I need some shopping therapy. I don't do that one, but maybe some of you do. Or I need to just go on a nice, I need to go exercise, or I need to do whatever it is. And those help, right, for a little while, but they're not treating the real issue. It's the inability of hearing his voice that causes us to lose his way. I love this. Because learning to hear his voice, the voice of God, is the solution to all of your problems. Do you believe that? All of them. Every single one of them. Because I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you a future of hope. And by the way, that prosperity, we haven't talked about it a lot of times. It's not, I mean, it's there's some financial prosperity, but there's prosperity that's much better than that. It's for the prosperity of living under the shalom protection and guidance of God and having him close to us. I want to prosper in my relationship with him first and foremost. Because the more I have of God, the more everything else is better. Right, Phyllis? Amen. Amen. You know that. Because his voice is love. His voice is power. His voice is healing. His voice is wisdom. His voice is joy. His voice is strength. His voice is hope. You know, maybe you've been listening to the deafening volume of negative self-talk that we can speak towards. How many of you say, I struggle with negative self-talk? Yeah, that can block the voice of God. Or maybe it's the criticism of someone else in your life or someone you grew up listening to and that keep reverberating in your head. Or maybe it's the enemy's voice of condemnation that speaks lies about who you really are. So the question we want to ask ourselves, is God's voice the loudest voice in our life? And so if you answer no, let me say that again. Is God's voice the loudest voice in your head, in your life? If you answer no, then that is your biggest problem. Your problem isn't your biggest problem. If you have no problems right now, that's okay. Just wait. You'll get one. It's on the way. Enjoy the time without it, but just know it's coming. That's not your biggest problem. Your problem's not your biggest problem. If you can't hear the voice of God, that's a tongue twister. Say that with me 10 times fast. I love this story from the Old Testament. So if you're new to the Bible, there's two halves to it. We call the first, well, I don't know if it's exactly 3/4, but it's not exactly, it's a little bit more than half, called the Old Testament. And that's the Jewish scriptures, which form the foundation of what we believe. And then the second half, or the second 25 or 30%, is called the New Testament. And there's the story in the Old Testament about this prophet named Elijah. Now, Elijah, for the Jewish people, is like this enormously famous person. Like, I'm trying to think, not on the level of Jesus for us, but maybe on the level of, like, Paul. Paul is like this famous dude for us in the New Testament. He wrote like almost half of the New Testament. And so he was also a powerful, powerful guy. Functioned in the power of God in this enormous way. One time that he challenged these priests of a false god to this is pretty cool. This should probably be a veggie tale. To like throw down and you create an altar over here where you're going to sacrifice. I'll do one over here. And then you call down fire from your God. Can't you see cucumber and zucchini? You know. And then I'll do it for mine. And so he dug a trench around his altar, doused it with water. And then the false god priests, they did all their things. They danced around and did their whole big thing, trying to get their god's attention to do their thing, and nothing happened. Elijah goes to his and says, God, will you send down? Consume the offering. Even though there was a trench full of water. Of course, what's a trench full of water to our God, right? He's operating the power of God. He also was the, let's see, let me make sure I get this right. One of the few people in the Bible other than Jesus who raised someone from the dead. Yeah. So, just so you know, this guy walks with God, right? But a king and his wife, you ever heard of anybody named Jezebel? And her husband Ahab, he was the king. They were in charge of the country, so they decided to use all of their resources to kill Elijah. So they put a bounty on his head. So you think you have problems, right? You don't have a nation state running after you to assassinate you. So what does Elijah do? He runs. He heads out. He tries to flee as fast as he can. And so I'm going to be reading a few scriptures today from 1 Kings chapter 19. So what happens here is Elijah's running and he goes alone into the wilderness traveling all day. And he sat down under a solitary broom tree. And do you see what it says in your handout? What does it say? Now, wait a second. I thought this guy was like Mr. Powerhouse, right? They're making bobbleheads about him all over Israel, right? He shows up and people quake. Elijah's here. Can you believe it? Now he's running because of this ridiculous person called Ahab that thinks he's a king and Jezebel is his wife. Now, that's a broom tree. Is that where you would want to camp out on a hot day? Praying? No. It's a pretty pathetic place to feel sorry for yourself, right? But I think he ran, got tired, and he just collapsed there. He found a little bit of shade. I've never been to Israel, but those that have gone have said if you're there in the wrong season, it's very hot. Not like our hot, like times two or three are hot. Right. And there's no like really good shade trees, I don't think, in Israel. So this is where he collapses. It's called a broom tree because if you cut off one of the limbs, they would use it as brooms in their homes. And Elijah goes on, and this is what he says, poor Elijah. He said, I've had enough, Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. Oh, poor Elijah. This poor guy, right? After all he'd done, as close as he was to God, what's going on with him? He had the Tomatis effect going on in his head, didn't he? The voice of fear and weariness and even condemnation. Who knows what the enemy was whispering in his head was drowning out the voice of God. So how do you think God responds to him? What do you think God shows up and says to him? He sends an angel, and what do you think the angel says to Elijah? He doesn't say, stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop having a pity party. I love this. This is one of my favorite things, and all of us guys will probably love this. The angel feeds him. he actually bakes some bread for him out there and gives him some bread. I don't know what else was there. And maybe he was having blood sugar issues as well as everything else. Right? Don't you love where God is, how he always knows what we need? And so he feeds him. He doesn't rebuke him or even correct him. You know, when you're in a low place, don't be afraid God's going to show up and tell you what's wrong with you, because that's not what he does. No, you don't have to be afraid. When you're at a low place, don't run away. Run to. Let me say that again. Don't run away. Run to. Run to your Father. Your Father in heaven, because he loves to show the way. I have a plan for you. Right, Brian? I have a plan for you. And so he sends them on a 40-day journey to a place called Mount Sinai. Now, this Elijah would have known this place because it was where Abraham, anybody ever heard of Abraham? He was even more famous than Elijah. It's where Abraham went up on the mountain and was given the Ten Commandments. So what happened on that mountain? God talked to Abraham. So Elijah has to go on this 40-day journey to hear what God has to say to him. And here's what happens. You don't have this in your hand, and I'm just going to read it to you from 1 Kings 19:11 through 12. So Elijah parks himself up there in a cave, and then a great and powerful wind tears through the mountain, tore the mountains apart, and shattered the rocks before God. But God was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. And in the earthquake, after the earthquake came a fire, but God was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. We have different translations of the Bible, and one translation called it a low whisper. Another one said it was a gentle blowing. And one more said it was a still small voice. We tend to think that maybe all of these earthquakes and the earthquake and fire and wind was insignificant, but maybe it was there to get Elijah's attention. Because God has an outside voice, and he's not afraid to use it. But when God wants to be heard, when he wants to say something very important to us in our lives, he speaks in a whisper. A question is why, right? Why a whisper, God? Why a still small voice? I think it's because when someone's talking in a whisper, this is my wife, by the way, so I can get really close to her. We have to lean in to listen to what they're saying. And he wants you close to him. So when he talks quietly, you have to lean in and pay attention and get closer to him, right? Isn't that beautiful? I have a friend of mine from years ago that when his children were young, he would occasionally play this little trick on them. He'd speak in a whisper so that they would inch closer and closer and closer to him. Can you see the kids? Closer. What are you saying, Dad? What was that? And he'd talk lower. And then he'd grab them and hug them. What do you think? Do you think God plays the same trick on us? See, God wants us to know what he has to say to us, but that's not the most important thing. We don't just want to hear the voice of God because, oh, I get to hear God talk to me. Yay. No, he doesn't want us to just hear his voice. He wants us to know how much he loves us and how much he wants to be close with us. So he woos us with his whisper. A friend of mine was feeling pressed in the job he had. The job demands were too much. It had been a really good job for him, and he liked who he worked with. He liked his company. Things had changed. They had done some downsizing. He was getting pulled in a lot of different directions. And I talked to him, and he was really stressed and worried. And this just wasn't like him. I've never really seen him this way before. And the stress and the worry in his head was so loud in his head that he couldn't hear the whisper of the Father. So I said, well, why don't we have this thing that we talk about doing, something called a half day of prayer, where you take 3 or 4 hours and you find a space that can just be quiet and you just turn off everything, lock up the animals, and you just listen and talk everything through with God. And when I talked to him about all this and suggested the half day of prayer, he was stressed and actually shaken. I mean, this guy, I'd known him for years, and I'd never seen him this way. So about a month later, we were on a Zoom call together, and the change was so remarkable. I mean, he was all smiles. He was back to being Kevin. Back to being the guy that I knew. And all that he did was spend 3 or 4 hours in prayer, dumping the worries and problems and fears on God, right? Because he didn't have a problem. He had a hearing problem. and he got his hearing restored so he could hear what God had to say to him. There's something about hearing the whisper of God that changes everything for us. So you don't have to have the answers. You don't have to have the answers. You don't have to figure it all out on your own. Thank God. You don't even have to be good enough for God. You could make the biggest mess you've ever made in your life. And you think, oh, I got to fix this. I got to clean up my mess before God will accept me. No, no, no. You ever read the story of the prodigal son? I don't know everybody's story here, but I don't think anybody here told one of your parents, you wish they were dead, give me my money that you're going to get, I'm going to get when you die, and then run off and wasted all the money. I don't want to see a show of hands here. Josh, you're smiling like you're thinking about it, but okay. And the father just took him right back, loved him, and accepted him. That's who our God is. Now, there's things we got to deal with afterwards, but he's got the path for you. He's got it all figured out. So how do we become dependent on the voice of God? How do we become dependent on the voice of God? So the easiest way to do this, and the best way, I think it's the only way, is to create every time every day with God. Take 15, 30 minutes or more and pray and read your Bible. If you don't know where to start, you've never read your Bible, talk to us about it. We'll help you figure it out. You're never going to learn to hear the voice of God if you don't give that time to Him. I mean, 15 minutes is like the bare minimum, by the way, because, I mean, sometimes it takes me that long just to read the Bible. And again, put it on your schedule, make a commitment, and say, God, I'm not just here to hear your voice. I'm here because I want you. I'm seeking you. I desire you. I know you have a plan for my life, but I want more than the plan. I want you. That's the starting place. And if you don't do it, then you're going to always be relying on other people or other things to guide you in what God wants for your life. And then the question becomes, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Are you a sheep? Are you really? That's scary, right? Are you really a Christian? I don't know. I don't know how that works, but Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And if you don't know the voice, unless you got a blockage, some of you are dealing with some blocks. We're going to get to that. Anyway, you got to put the time in with Jesus. And then the next thing is, does anybody know the first thing Jesus taught about prayer? The very first thing. The first thing. When somebody said, Jesus teaches about prayer, what's the first thing he said? There you go. He taught about the place. Isn't that interesting? People have come to me over and over the years. It took me the early years as a pastor, I never started with the place. That's what Jesus said. And here's what he said. When you pray, go into your room, lock the pets out, turn your cell phones off, close the door. No, he didn't say all that part. He just said, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. It's in the Bible. So why wouldn't we do it? Can somebody answer that for me? I mean, if your cell phone's on, I'm going to guarantee you right at a key moment, right when you're listening to God, it's going to go off. Because I don't know how the enemy can manipulate texts, but he does. And that's one of the things God, I've actually been doing a little exercise with God lately. I say, God, do I need to look at my phone right now? He goes, no. Or yes. I'm like, okay, great. Because, you know, I don't want to be driven by having to hear the beeps and whangs and buzzes and all that. I let him direct me to it. And then I love this next part. Let's read this part out loud together. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Who wants the reward? All right, there's three of us. That was. I want it. I don't know what it is, but I want it. I want it. If God's handing out rewards, I want it because I want whatever God wants. I want it all. I want it all the time. I don't want to get half of what God wants. Life is hard. It's hard living in this world. And I don't want to get to heaven someday and God goes, Storm, I had so much more for you. It would have made life so much easier. And I'm like, really? Yeah, you went through a lot of suffering you didn't have to. You dealt with a lot of stress and tension you didn't have to. Why didn't you follow what I told you to do? I don't know. The Bible has an interesting thing in Revelation 21. It says that he wipes all the tears from our eyes. Yeah, there's some crying in heaven. And I think it's going to be because of things. We're going to get up there and we're going to find out what we missed. Opportunities we missed, opportunities to love people and love them into the kingdom, things that we carried that we didn't have to carry, deliverance that we missed out on that we didn't have to have in our life. And I think one of the rewards, right, is the reward of hearing God guide us and speak to us. Would you agree with that? Yeah. And what we're finding, right, Brian and Laurel's not here today, right away, Josh, God, man, he just blows your minds out. Right, almost right out of the gate, you guys started hearing from God talk to you, right? You didn't even ask. And boom, God's like, you're in a meeting at Sam's house here, you're praying for people. And it's like, what? You're hearing God talk right now. It's like all the time, isn't it, for you guys, right? It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. He wants you to get it. He wants you to have it. And if you don't have it, we want to help you get there. Yes. We don't want anybody not to have the voice of God in their life. So, a couple other tips, and then we're going to wrap up today. Sometimes I can end with a nice, juicy, great story. Sometimes I got to end practically. Look, if you don't do this, the time with God, your emotions are going to fight it, your mind's going to fight it, especially since we're constantly listening to music or the TV or whatever. We just fill our heads with stuff all the time. And when we tell our mind, no, we're going to be quiet, your mind might say, well, I can't do it. You can do it. You just have to train yourself for do it. There's a scripture that says, train yourself for godliness. You can do it. Those of you who have walked longer with God, can I get an amen there?
Amen.
You can do it. You can do it. And on top of it, guess who wants to help you do it? I love it. I hate it. I don't love it. I hate it when people try to do things without God's help. And he's like, what? Why? Why don't you just ask me? I want to help you. Of course I want to help you pray and hear my voice. So just, if you're starting out on this and your mind's like buzzing around and say, God, I can't calm my mind down. Will you help me? Now, if you pray that one day and you give up, then you might not get it. You got to be persistent. And then if you keep praying it and nothing's happening, then you need to come see us so we can pray you through some stuff, okay? There could be everything. Well, I'm not going to get into it. We're going to talk about that next week. You don't want to miss next week. It's going to be an important service for us, but... So don't give up. Be persistent. And take a pen and a paper with you. And why is that? Because there are going to come pop things into your mind that your mind is just saying, don't forget to buy milk. Oh, yeah, I got to remember that. Okay, Lord, I come back to you, don't forget to buy milk. Father, I pray, don't forget to buy milk. Write it down. Sometimes I'm hit with like 10 things when I'm praying. I just jot it all down, get it out of my head, and I know I've got it written down so I don't forget. Right? It's just little tricks of the trade, little light prayer hacks here that will help you. And then just soak in the presence of God. Pray for His will to be done in your life. Tell Him all your worries and fears and everything you're worried about. Confess your sin. Forgive. Pray for protection from temptation and the evil one. That's the Lord's Prayer I just went down with you. That's what Jesus went into next. And just marinate. Just spend time reading His Word, listening to Him, being with Him, and before long, It's going to be amazing the change that will come over your life. All right. Let's pray together. Father, who is like you? There's nobody like you. You're so generous and good and kind. You're just amazing to us, and we love you. We love you, and our love for you can't even compare to how much you love us. And Father, I pray for everyone sitting here, even the old masters, the veterans of the Christian faith, to the brand newbies who have just walked into the door of knowing you, that you would unleash and upon them a special and new fragrance from you, a special and new grace and love from you in their lives, Lord, that everyone here would have strength to seek you like they've never sought you before, a freshness of energy to pursue you, God, and that we know that when we do that, you meet us. Your word is very clear that if we will draw near to you, you draw near to us. And I pray that you would level up us as a group of Christians here, that you would take all of us to a new level with you, and all of us now, all of us who are veterans of the Christian faith, we pray for the new Christians that are here with us today. We pray that you would protect them from evil. We pray that you would protect them from condemnation. We pray that you'd help clear their minds out, God, and have a fresh space every day to hear you speak to them. And that, Lord, you would give them that breakthrough in Jesus' name to be able to hear you speak to them, God. Help them, Lord, to hear you and follow you and know the good, good plan for you that you have for their lives. And also, God, to know you. God, we pray that the greatest prayer we can pray for them, that they would know you. They would know you as the God of love and truth and justice, that you love to provide for them. But even more than that, that they would know your heart for them, God. That they could be rooted in their identity as a daughter or son of the Most High God. We pray that for them today and for each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Sam, let's stand together. We have one more song to sing today.